Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP. This crowd was singing high hopes, smiling through a broken nose. Oh, high hopes, high hopes.
I feel a little less alone.
Yo. Edition of the High Hopes Podcast presented by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. And we got a special pod for you. It's our favorite pod we do every year. It's honestly a thrill that it's become an annual thing. I can't believe it. From the time that Jack French mentioned the name Brian Barber to the High Hopes audience, and no one in Philadelphia had heard the name, and now he's assistant general manager in charge of scouting. No big deal. And it's his time of year, the draft. Our guy, friend of the podcast, Mr. Brian Barber. Brian, how are you, pal?
Really good. And as appreciative as I am to be on this, there's no way in the world I can do what you just did, James. So don't expect me to give the intro like that.
Yeah,
but well, very excited to be on here. Always a fun time to talk about the draft itself, and then obviously the players that we were able to bring into the system.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jackie. Jack's like, well, just, you know, as always, Brian, I mean, before you don't take everyone inside baseball, you know, when we do this, I have a list of like 40 draft questions about players and this, like every player you drafted, Jack has a question about, and I have to edit him down and be like, we can't ask about we can't have Brian on the pod for 2.5 hours, but Jack's really excited, so we're
always to have you, man. Always. Well, I mean, before we even get into anything, I feel like we don't even know who you are anymore. I mean, six college arms to start a draft. What I mean, who is Brian Barber? Just we had to get pegged down.
I've tried to tell everybody throughout the past years where it was like, we do like these guys. It just didn't line up that way. And this year it just happened to line up that way, where I thought going into this year, the idea that, that we would take more pitching in general was probably something that we were going to do, but you just never know how it actually lines up. That's one of the things that's so exciting going into it, is all the preparation that you have going into it. You don't have necessarily plans, but you prepare for whatever eventuality happens when it's your time to pick. And this year it just lined up to, it was more college pitching on that side and pitching in general. So I think I told everybody going into this draft, one of the two big strengths of the draft was college pitching in general. And so at least I didn't lie there. At least, that was what I thought. That was what we thought, and it ended up turning out to be that way. So.
Yeah, Brian, these days it's almost surprising when someone says something like pre-draft, pre-trade, this or that, and then actually follows through with what they said. You almost have to like read the tea leaves of everything these days. I want to get into the specifics of the draft, but quickly just to catch up, we haven't spoken to you a while. How you been? How's the new year in Philly? I mean, you're assistant general manager now. No big deal, how has it been, kind of getting more, cemented in Philly? Your was it fourth draft now, I believe, since you've been here? Is that right? Fourth or fifth?
Six.
Jesus.
Holy cow.
The time moves so fast. I have a six-year-old. And
it moves quick for me as well.
It's crazy, so, yeah. Brian. So how you feeling like now, you've been here for a little while. You've been a part of this organization for a while. How have you kind of settled into the Philadelphia thing and how you feeling just as a part of the organization before we dive into the specifics and I let Jack go wild?
Yeah, I mean, love it. Love working here. And it's been, I guess it was 5 years since we drafted Mick, but actual six drafts. So, going back to 2020, the COVID year with Mick and obviously Andy and moving forward with Justin, Aiden, Dante last year and then Gage this year, just headlining the drafts. I love working here. I really do. The organization is unbelievable. It's in a good spot from ownership down to Dave to Preston taking leadership as in the GM role now. It's tremendous people. It's a tremendous organization. And it's just led by the leaders that run this place. My job hasn't changed a whole lot with the addition of the assistant GM title. I'm involved in a little bit more, but my day-to-day duties still revolve around the draft and all things draft considered. So it's been ramped up a little bit, but the job itself hasn't changed a whole lot. And I love what I'm doing, so I don't really want it to change.
Yeah, I know that game.
It's a pretty great job. So from the outside looking in, I think like the first reaction to the overall draft was they drafted a lot of guys that could theoretically help them sooner rather than later. And, you would think that 27, I think your whole, or 26, I think your whole philosophy has been more, well, let's draft the high school kid because of what they could turn out to be. But this year seemed like a bit of a change there. Was there an organizational push to get guys that might help the big league club a little bit quicker?
No, not really at all. I think whenever you dive down the college, specifically college pitching route, you're going to come out with guys that have more nowness to the things that they do. So people automatically assume that, this guy could potentially be a quick mover. And I do think that's probably the case for a lot of these guys, that they have the potential and ability to move through an organization quickly. But it was not at the expense of what their potential and upside could be, and the fact that they could still be impactful major league, in this case, pitchers for us. So I think they sort of work in combination. Sometimes the upside, sort of coincides with a little bit more speed up to the big leagues, but the goal is never on an amateur scouting side who can get there first. It's who's the best once they get there.
Let's get to Gage Wood, because kind of a unique thing, I think, certainly as Phillies fans, picking in the 20s, it's rare that we get the guy that everyone's heard of, the guy that had the big moment, the guy that we played audio of him on our morning show before he was ever a Philly when he had the 19 strikeout game. So just the Gage Wood thing off the top, and we'll get into specifics, but I know Jack knows, like, there's one thing about this kid that I've been obsessed with since the 19 strikeout no hitter thing. And I want your opinion on it too, because the audio we played was after he throws this no hitter, 19 strikeouts in the College World Series, a kid on the big stage. Unbelievable. When he gets asked about it, his first response is, I shouldn't have hit the guy. And then when he's here the other day to sign his contract, he gets asked about it. He's like, I think about hitting that guy every day. Like, for me, like, I just love that mentality. I love the, you know, that kind of fire that he has. Can you talk about, obviously, what you led you to Gage, but also that specific part of him, the part of him that allowed him to have that outing in the first place, but that mentality of someone who comes out of that all-time great college performance and says, I shouldn't hit the guy.
Yeah, Gage is intense, I can tell you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he is.
But there's also, like, you get him away from obviously, from that type of you know, arena where he needs to be intense to be able to pitch the way that he does. And he's just a great human being as well. Obviously, he's from a very small town in Arkansas, Batesville, Arkansas. And all he wanted to do coming out of high school was pitch at the University of Arkansas. And I joked about that with him, where it's like every SEC weekend in Fayetteville is like their World Series. It's just so big. It was a cool thing to see. I immediately just cracked out laughing at it when that as well. But it's just, it sort of, you know, describes him to a T on who he is, where it's like the intense desire to be as good as he can be as a eventual major league pitcher is just like that came through in spades, where it's just like, all right, you got a pretty good idea really quickly on who this kid is. So, I mean, besides some of the baseball stuff we might get into with him, the makeup portion of it that, you know, Tommy Field, who is our scout there in the area, started with him. Almost a year ago now, trying to, you know, dig into, you know, obviously not just what they can do on the field, but who they are as people as well. I think I said it on draft day. I think the fans of Philadelphia are really going to love this guy.
Hey, parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Yeah, he's definitely a Philly guy. There is no doubt about it, man.
Yeah, he's gonna be awesome. And like, I'm curious, the first time you saw Gage Wood, were you surprised that he was still there at 26? I mean, was there a moment where you're like, man, if he's there, I don't know how I could pass up the opportunity to get him?
Yeah, you go into the day, and especially picking later in the draft, which we've done here, and then in my previous job with the Yankees, like I've been sort of used to picking later in the draft, so you really never know what's going to get there. So I'll give you a little bit of an insight. We went into that day. It was about five guys that were lined up on the board. It's, you know, one of these guys could end up being in that range. You try to take out the guys that for sure are not going to get there and try to get into the actual nuts and bolts of who might get there. And obviously he sat really good on that list of five guys. So we knew going into the day there was a strong chance that if he was there, he was going to be our guy. But going into it, you just didn't know. And talking to, you know, multiple clubs beforehand, like there were multiple opportunities for him to not be sitting there at 26 when we picked. So I know he was in the mix for teams as high as the low teens in their mix. So for him to fall, you know, whatever, how many more spots, obviously we were really excited that he was still there on the board.
And you've obviously scouted a lot of pitchers with power fastballs. What kind of makes his fastball special? Because it looks like a special pitch from the naked eye.
Yeah, it's really got the combination of things that you look for to have a swing and miss fastball. It's got low release height. He has extension. He has carry. He has velocity. It's really all the ingredients to have like an elite VAA four-seam fastball that creates swing and miss. And that's the one thing that going into the year or going through the year where you look at it and it's like, why do you like Gage Wood? And it's a 44.6% whiff rate on his fastball and a 23.2% swinging strike rate on his fastball. It's just a dominating pitch that we think is going to continue at that type of elite level.
Come on. Listen, you're breaking out VAA on us. What is the draft come to?
Well, I just haven't. We haven't been able to draft those type of guys that I've been going into it with. I mean, these are things that, going back 10 years now, that as we start learning what really makes a fastball, you know, what the difference between good, great, and elite, he has the elite qualities that give it that it ends up being what it really is. It's just, you know, he ends up with a 46% strikeout rate and a 4.7% walk rate. And it's just like, all right, it's led by that.
That'll play.
So, yeah, I mean, that's first and foremost, that's what we went back. It was probably his second start of the year. It was in Globe Life. It was a Globe Life tournament. I believe it was against Michigan. It was actually the game he ended up having to come out of with the little shoulder stuff that he had, but it was the couple innings that he pitched there. He struck out six guys in two innings and just completely dominated with it. And that was a guy that, we were hoping that he came back and came back healthy, which he did, and were able to stay on top of it. But that game there was the one that really jumped out to us that this guy might be a top pick.
Yeah. When talking about Gage, and I think, you know, obviously it's something that we talked about pops off with the mentality and the intensity, but I'm so fascinated by makeup in general. I think it's one of those things. I think you see it in really all the major sports drafting. You know, I think quarterback is a big thing you see in the NFL with, if you're not in the room with the guy and you can't talk to them and really understand who they are as a person, as a leader, how they go about their business, how they analyze things. You can't really know what they're going to be as a player. And that's something that you get to see with these guys. You get that side of them that we don't. How much, and obviously Gage seems like a high-end example of it, but how much does makeup factor into your decision-making process when you do this stuff? And how hard is it to judge makeup, especially on someone, I know Gage is a college kid, but on these high school kids who are children, like if they haven't lived life yet, it's so hard to judge who they're going to become. How do you analyze makeup? It's such a fascinating thing to me.
Yeah, well, twofold on that. So makeup is a huge part in almost everybody that we bring into the organization. It's something that's just almost a prerequisite for our scouts to have done on a player for us to even think about drafting them, is they've gone in, met the person and done work there. And we're led by it's CeCe Kraft and Tracy Statler, who's our draft coordinator on the mental performance side, that they lead. It's almost like we have specific questions that we're trying to ask along the way. We don't give them a quiz and think where we're going to try to come out and figure out what their psychological testing tells us. but it's, you know, the idea that we're trying to dig in and find out what makes this person tick and allows them to, you know, what the successful major leaguers have and what the ones that end up not being what they don't possess, and trying to figure out if these kids possess the good qualities. So it's a huge, huge factor in who we bring into the system. And that's, and, you know, not even talking about who can potentially handle Philadelphia and who, you know, who can handle a smaller market club.
We get into the weeds
on that as well. So
yeah, well, I mean, we've seen it. We see it every day in this city. It's an intense place, and you do have to be able to handle it. It's a great point.
No doubt.
So last one on Gage before we get into the true sicko hours of the
Jack's
draft.
Jack's time to shine. Yes, that's exactly right.
Come on. So we've talked about on the pod, like when he got drafted, the idea of whatever happens next week, the idea of him helping this team down the stretch run out of the bullpen. What is your overall thought on something like that?
Well, yeah, we understand you don't want to put pressure on him. We get it.
No, yeah. What we want to do first and foremost is be smart and responsible. The one of the things that the later draft does is make it harder for the pitching to get going right away. So we have Gage Wood, who ramped up before the season for his Arkansas season, and ramped up, pitched through the end of February, got shut down with his shoulder for a few weeks, had to ramp back up to get back in mid-April, and then obviously pitched through the end of the College World Series, where he made significant jumps in his pitch counts along the way to throwing 119 pitches that last game, and now hasn't thrown in a game for a month again. So you're first and foremost thinking that this is a long-term play is to do a smart and responsible buildup and see where he's at. So we're going to do that, you know, how, where that leads to, and, you know, some games in Clearwater, possibly jumped at the end of their season. Obviously their season in Jersey Shore ends the same week. Does he potentially jump up to Reading and see how that works? Not sure where that goes, but right now we're taking it one day at a time and just trying to be smart with what we do while still having the idea that this guy's pretty good now, but the idea is for him to be really good for the next 10, 15, 20 years for us. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I've had visions of I mean, come on, that power fastball freaking out in front of a sold out CDP. Listen, we all have visions around here. I'm just kidding. All right. So like, can you just tell me that Cade Obermueller is a shorter Andrew Miller? Because he looks like a shorter Andrew Miller.
We are such an Andrew Miller pod. Like I've said to Jack, I think Tito and Andrew Miller in 2016 changed the way relievers are used. I think that was the beginning of the way baseball changed with the high leverage stuff and bringing Miller into the fifth inning and sixth inning of playoff games. On, we are such big Andrew Miller fans. So before you answer, just know that is about as high a compliment as we can offer someone.
I'll take your word on that. There are obviously some differences besides the, I don't know, what is 7 or 8 inches in height?
Yeah, he was like 6'7", I think, Miller. He's pretty tall.
What he doesn't have in height, he really makes up for in athleticism. And this is a guy that at his height, he can do, you know, dunks on the basketball court. The athletic assessment testing that we were able to see and do with him is he's like 99th percentile as far as like vertical jumps and broad jumps. And so it just, you know, you get some of that athleticism.
Sounds like a football player or something there, you know?
Yeah, he's got the uniqueness to his delivery. He's got 7 feet of extension, even though he's only 6 feet tall. He's got the low release height. He does it easy. We've seen him up to 98. He's got the sweeper with up to like 20 inches of sweep that you've seen. I've seen it in person where he's got 2 legit swing and miss pitches. He's come a long way in the last 12 to 18 months as far as strike throwing ability. That was the one thing that probably he would have been drafted in a good spot last year. Obviously, as a draft eligible sophomore, he put a higher price on his ability to go out last year. But he also proved 2 things where he had the ability to hold up as a starter throughout the year. And then the strike throwing just got a whole lot better with him. So There are a lot of things we really like about him, and where eventuality of where that goes, I don't know. We don't know on a lot of these guys what they necessarily end up being. We want to bring in, quality people with quality stuff, that their stuff can continue to get better, and figure out later what they necessarily is. He a two starter, a four starter, a closer. I'm just speaking in general. Sometimes those things are figured out in the big leagues. We've got two guys that are in the rotation now, Chris Sanchez and Ranger Suarez, and through their first couple years in the big leagues, people didn't know what they are. Mm-hmm. And now Chris Sanchez is one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. Yeah. Ranger Suarez is not too far behind him as one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. And these guys were 2 or 3 years into their big leagues careers before we really figured out what they were.
Yeah.
Great point. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, there must be something going on with Iowa. I mean, between Caitlin Clark, between, Cooper DeGene.
Cooper DeGene, yeah.
Kate Obermuller.
I hope he's the next in line with those guys.
Yes. If he has some Cooper DeGene moments here, we will be very, very, very happy, yes.
Yep. Cody Balker, I'm fascinated with. I mean, because, by the naked eye, it sort of looks like a unicorn fastball. I'm sure you have you want to break down the BAAs again and all of that.
You can do that with him. I mean, one of the things that jumps out with Cody is that he's a super athletic guy as well. That this is really his first full year solely pitching. He went to Georgetown out of high school, and he was a shortstop / pitcher. So he didn't have the ability to work on those. Obviously, this past year, he transferred to Vanderbilt and was solely worked on pitching. So we think there's upside there as well as continuing down that path, but it is elite four seam shape from his slot. It's just one of the most, it's really one of the most unique VAA four seamers in the entire draft. It really is. So the velocity isn't on the upper end, but it's still up to 95, 96 where I saw him at the SEC tournament. I happened to see him twice this year, and he's up into the mid 90s at every start. Between the shape and eventuality of hoping to add on a tick or two in velocity, we think it's going to continue to be an elite four seamer.
Yeah, it looks awesome. Sean Youngerman, also fascinated by, it looks like it's untapped potential. Like it's close, but it's almost like a ball of clay that you could possibly turn into like a mid rotation type in Sean Youngerman.
Yeah, this is an elite competitor, extremely, extremely high end makeup kid, and an elite strike thrower right now. I think it was under 4% walk rate in college this year. We saw this guy right out of the gate. It was the first weekend of the year. He was at a big tournament at Globe Life, and he was in the bullpen then at the time. And we identified him that weekend as a potential guy that we would want to move into the starting rotation. And he went back and forth there at Oklahoma State. It was one game they moved him into the starting rotation, and out of the bullpen, decided to throw him 133 pitches. He absolutely dominated the game, but some of the things that you see in college where you sort of scratch your head and things that we would never do on the pro side. But it was also good for us to see what the potential could end up being. It's a carry fastball with 20 inches of vert. He uses it a ton. He uses it over 70% of the time. It's up to 97 miles an hour. We really think it's an unoptimized arsenal, but with the other pitches as well, we see starter all the way with him. So.
Yeah. Mechanics seem really clean. I'm fascinated by him. Definitely. Gabe Craig might be 24, but I mean, it's a 70 grade slider. I mean, it reminds me a lot of when you drafted Orion Kerkering.
There's no doubt. I mean, this was a guy that he's had some shoulder injuries in previous years and was finally got healthy this year, got to Baylor. They got him in a really good spot. In all honesty, yes, he's older, but he's a legit real prospect, and he's still young in his pitching life. And in all reality, he might have had the most dominating year in all of college baseball as a pitcher.
Wow.
0.56 ERA, 46% K rate, 2.7% walk rate, and he might have the most elite pitch in all of college baseball in his slider.
That's just a resume right there. Resume, bang, you know?
Yeah, wow. It's the reality of it. It looks elite. It has elite data to it, and it plays elite with like a 46% whiff rate on that pitch, where it's like, and he's up to 97 as well. So
No big deal.
One of the guys that we had see him, it was actually in the Big 12 tournament, was Bryce Harmon, who was our area scout at the time when Kirkering came out. Bryce is at a higher level now as one of our cross checkers, but he said that he called me right away, and it's like, hey, I'm not putting this on him as well, but there are some similarities to Kirkering with the slider, with the fastball velocity, and a lot of our guys see a path to both a four-seam and two-seam fastball that Kirkering is using now, and having that two-seam play off the slider that he's got. We see big potential. So Gabe is one of the guys that we're going to get, obviously smart and responsible as well, because he hasn't thrown in a month and a half, but he is going to get out there and throw some innings, hopefully for us this year.
So. Yeah. I was already excited about Gabe Craig, but I'm going to be honest, I might be ready to buy a jersey. I might be ready to buy a jersey. That was dynamite.
Oh, that got me excited.
One step at a time with all these guys. It is. I mean, as excited as we get, obviously, and this is without even being said, the world of college baseball is so far and away from the big leagues. It's just, we're seeing guys that dominate AAA now come up to the big leagues and struggle. But these guys do a lot of the things that allow us to dream in that way as well. So, the data backs up what we see visually, the performance lines up with what we see visually. It's like, what else are you looking for?
Brian, I say this every time you come on. I think you have the hardest job on the planet, like trying to look at 18 and 21 year olds and knowing what they're going to grow into in their late 20s and how their bodies are going to develop and how their arm movements are going to last in terms of injury and this and that. Like, there's so much projection in what you have to do. So don't worry. We get it. It's definitely not, we're not going to put too much pressure on these guys, but I've said it to you many times. Like when you've been on, I'm just, I've always thought of all the sports, like trying in baseball with the amount of kids you have to choose from and then the ages that you're picking at and what they have to ultimately become, I think is by far the hardest of the scouting director jobs.
Yeah, I try to tell people it's really the journey along the way that's so fraught with risk. It's not necessarily like did you pick the right guy tools wise or athletic wise, but it's just from the starting point of whether that's, getting into mini camp and getting into rookie ball and getting into low A and just knowing that the path is a multi-year path with risk along the way and whether they end up being good, whether there's injury along the way, there's just so many things that are trying to prevent them from making it and hopefully the right ones end up making it still.
So I got one that I will try to lump together before
you fire out any question you want, Jack.
I love it. Well, and I have one at the end, maybe the most important one. That's just all I'll say.
Well, I could spend the next, we'll get to him. We'll get to him. But Brian Walters signed yesterday. Good to see. And James Talon. Brian Walters, if I'm right, he was dealing with a little bit of injury stuff, but he also has been up to like 98. And obviously his brother had an unbelievable fastball when he was at Miami as well. What can you tell us about those two guys, James Talon and Brian Walters?
Yeah, I'll start with Brian since you had him. The injuries were more in the past. He did have Tommy John. That was two and a half years ago. And then he had his ulnar nerve transposition last year while he was at Miami. He was totally healthy this year. He flipped back and forth between the starting rotation and the bullpen. One of the most exciting things that we see about Brian Walters is just a completely unoptimized arsenal that he has. This guy has an elite four-seam fastball and sweeper, and they made him – he threw two-seam short bullet slider this year in college, and it's like – From our meeting at the combine, we talked about what, we were trying to find out from him where that led to. It was not a him type of thing. He's all on board with some of the things that we see, and that's what he wants to do. I saw him on today is Saturday. Those guys were down Thursday playing catch on the field in Clearwater. He's playing it with a four-seam grip, and we're going to try to let that get going. So where that leads to, like we see the possibility of him at least being developed as a starter and see where that leads to as well. Cause yeah, he's been up to 98. He throws strikes. We want to bring back the type of arsenal that we think is going to play a little bit better we were super excited about being able to get him where we did. And James Talon was one. It was one of the things that we do as we're leading up almost into our meetings I'll start sending out little projects to our scouts. And it's like, hey, who would your dream pick be in the second round? Who would your dream pick be in, you know, an early day two type of guy? And in that situation, James Talon was almost like on a leaderboard for all of our scouts as like a dream pick, early day two-ish type guy to get. He's 6'5". He's left-handed. He's got a very good fastball. It's unique, a unique slot with carry to it. He kept getting better and better as the year went on. I think it was like a low 32% whiff rate on the fastball. And we think there's both, you know, physical projection along with deception, uniqueness, and the ability for his arsenal to get better as well. So, yeah, two guys that we were super excited to walk away with, and it's obviously the sixth and then the eighth round. So
inside my life, last week.
Do we want to go there? That's a dangerous place to be.
So during the draft, we were on vacation. We were all driving to up in the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania. And, you know, I pull off to the side of the road, or we stop for a second, check my notifications. And I see in the seventh round, you drafted Matthew Fisher. Mm. And you want to talk about, I'm not saying I was speeding the rest of the way, but I was on cloud nine.
I can't tell you how many Matthew Fisher texts I've gotten since then, including that night, Brian. Like, the name Matthew Fisher has popped up in my text from Jack many times since then.
I mean, to me, he's like obviously a top two round pick, but like it's so untapped because he looks so athletic on the mound. He's up to what, 94 already? I mean, Matthew Fisher, it seems like a home run pick. What can you tell us about Matthew Fisher?
Yeah, obviously it's a guy that we identified last summer, last fall, or before he went onto the football field. Matthew is elite athleticism. I believe he was All-State quarterback. If I remember right, it was 44 touchdowns and one interception as a quarterback. Whoa.
That's more impressive than the 46% K rate, 2.7% walk rate you gave us before. Wow.
So, and again, high quality makeup with that one. We've seen it up to 96 already in early season outings, especially. He's got a natural feel to throw a baseball and spin a baseball in general. So it's a unique fastball profile right now with both cut and ride. Like I said, we've seen it up to 96. He can really spin both a power curveball and a cutter. Really high level strike throwing ability for a high school kid. It's athleticism and it oozes with projection, and he does it really easy, both delivery wise, arm action wise. There's hints of now stuff, hints of now really good stuff, and the projection for those to all get really, really good. Obviously, you never know what's going to happen in a draft and how things fall and why guys fall. I can tell you that without going too deep into the woods here, Matthew Fisher is exactly where he wants to be, and he's with the team that really wanted him the most. So I think it was something that in the end, for both of us were extremely happy it ended up the way that it did. So
yeah, he's I'm pretty geeked up. Pretty geeked up by Matthew Fisher. It's going to be awesome.
Hey, parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
All right.
Hey, hold on. I do have to one more thing on him, and this is no factor in us taking him. He also happens to be from the same hometown as our general manager, Preston Mattingly.
In Evansville. No way! How about
so,
that?
Preston is, this is one of the kids, obviously, not too many kids come from the Evansville, Indiana area.
That's cool.
Preston has been asking about Matthew since, I remember last fall when we first started getting some of our follower reports in on him. So I think it was one that he was excited, although he doesn't see very many amateurs. He was excited.
Well, he even told me, Brian, it's funny. I saw him at the game the other day and I was like, yeah, Jack, super excited about Matthew Fisher. He's like, yeah, he's like, I trust Brian on that. He's like, I haven't watched a ton. He's like, that's Brian. He was like, you were right. Like he's like, that's Brian's on it, which is cool. Like that. He just gives you this autonomy too, to go and do your job. I think in any job, that's so important. So Preston, we love Preston Mattingly here.
Oh, I know he's a, yeah.
He's our guy.
Don't worry. I won't have you rank the two of us on here for your favorite on the pod.
Well, again,
it's like children, you know, like you can't say which child you love the most. I mean, come on.
And I mean, he's too big time for this nitty gritty stuff. Are you kidding me? I mean, we're breaking down Matthew Fisher in the seventh round. I mean, he doesn't have that in the arsenal anymore. He doesn't have that in the arsenal.
I think he can do it pretty well.
Words.
He might not have seen him in person, but I think he knows enough of what we think and thought of him and I've watched everything. So that is, like you mentioned, that's what's so great, both about Preston, Dave, really all of our front office is you know, completely involved in it as well, while giving autonomy to the scouting department to at least recommend what the right moves are to make and go through that. So those guys are deeply involved in our process throughout the year, but allow us to go and do our jobs as well.
So. I'm just trolling them. All right. So so you drafted two prep shortstops, both kind of local, Matthew Ferrara, and then Logan Dawson, like seems like a pretty huge Phils fan. Was that kind of cool getting to draft a local kid that also ends up being a really big fan of the team?
Yeah, I'm really cool. Obviously not a reason necessarily why we like him, yeah. Especially talking with Logan. I mean, Matthew is more North Jersey, and I don't want to blow his cover, but was probably more of a Yankee fan before a few days ago.
Especially today, this weekend. I mean, we got a game coming up against him, right? I mean,
tough one for him last night, huh?
Yeah, take that, New York.
I think at this point now that he's a Philly, I think he's probably happy that we won the game and not.
Yeah.
But Logan specifically, he's right over the bridge. I mean, I think he told me it takes him about 20 minutes to get to the ballpark.
Wow.
But a lot of things there to like in him and the athleticism. High school quarterback that had the opportunity to go play college football if he wanted to do that. He was that enough level of quarterback to be able to do that. But we think there's projection in the body. It's really good makeup. Yes, he's a huge Phillies fan, but not why we liked him. Might have had a part of why we were able to end up bringing him and making him a Philly part of that. But we like him because there's high upside to his athleticism and what he can do on the baseball field.
And what about Ferrara? Looks like he bulked up.
Ferraro. This is one that we identified going back to last year, where Logan was more this past spring. Matthew Ferraro, we were able to identify last year. We think the guy can hit. I mean, that's the reality of it. We think he can hit, and he's a really good baseball player, and he's a plus runner. So we think he's going to be able to grow into some power along with the bat. We had both of those guys at a workout at Citizens Bank Park shortly before the draft. Matthew showed what some of the now power is and what we think it can be in the future. They both have an ability. They're both going to be developed as shortstop, but both of them have the ability to play all over the field if necessary. Both plus runners, both athletes. Ferrar is probably a little bit more advanced with the bat, and hence why he went where he did in the draft.
So I'm curious about Landon Schaefer, because he took his name. He might have took his name out of the draft. Like, what was the thought process behind just taking him in the 20th round?
Yeah, Landon's a guy that we've liked for a long time. And this is, you know, both Tommy Field and Brad Holland, who's our regional supervisor there in that area, identified him early on as a guy that we really like. Just like I said before, you never know exactly what's going to happen and why while the draft is going on. He got to a point where he fell that Arkansas made a strong run to keep him going to college. He didn't officially take his name, although he might have put that out on Twitter or X or whatever it's called now. There was nothing.
Twitter. Always Twitter. Twitter.
Well, I always refer to it as that as well. But
yeah.
He didn't officially take his name out of the draft through Major League Baseball, so we still had the opportunity to draft him. And the reason you do something like that is you never know what happens along the way in signing players. So there could be somebody that ends up that you think you have an agreement to that ends up backing out of a deal, and all of a sudden you have extra money. There might be something that comes through in somebody's medical where all of a sudden he's signing for a different number that you originally agreed to, and all of a sudden you have extra money that's there. And that situation was explained to Landon right away. He was happy to end up being drafted, obviously not where he was, and in all likelihood, he's going to end up going to University of Arkansas now, and we wish nothing but the best. But those are the type of situations you get a player that you really like, that you have an inkling that wants to sign, but just the money's not lining up right there, and all of a sudden you have a guy that you have as a backup option in case something does happen.
So Brian, last one from us, and thank you so much for being so generous with your time. I did, and humoring Jack. We really appreciate it. It really did. I was going to say make his week, make his month, make his year, whatever.
Oh, I told you this, guys, before. Like, I love talking about these guys, and especially now that the guys that you were able to bring into the system, and that's official now. All these 19.
Yeah, which is exciting. After
Logan officially signed yesterday afternoon. He'll be heading down to Clearwater here within the next, I think, 24 hours and get started on his journey to hopefully being a Major League Baseball player. I love talking this stuff. I really awesome. Do. I mean, I do this every day with somebody, at least on the phone or in person. So why not you guys today?
Well, we love that, man. It really does mean a lot. And I know our listeners love it. Last one. And I said before, I think it's the most important one. I stand by that. I am not a scout. Don't have those abilities. I've watched a lot of baseball in my life, been in the building, as they say, for many baseball games. I just wanted to get the official Philly scouting department opinion, take, statement, whatever, on I was witness to a absolute dominant pitching performance at the Plymouth White Marsh High School. One Jack Fritz, no hitting Joe DeCamera, 8 straight outs, 5 of them strikeouts, a little high heat to close it out. You know, I know he's 31. I know he might be a little past his prime. I know he's only pumped in there at like 72 or 73. But the official scouting department, Brian Barber, statement on the impressive, dominant, all-time great outing, especially with the pressure on from one Jack Fritz.
Now, knowing I'm a little held back because I was not there in person and didn't get a first person view, I did mm-hmm. see some video of this.
Good.
I will tell you I'll keep this as my opinion and keep it away.
I like that. That's probably a good idea. Maybe we avoid the official statement thing. I get it. Yeah.
Jack is doing exactly what he should be doing right now.
So quick follow-up.
Thank you. Dude, that was so good.
Yeah. Quick follow-up. Arm didn't recover for at least a week and a half.
And that's probably a negative as well. So. Yeah. And maybe you just weren't in throwing shape yet. You see, you didn't do the smart and responsible buildup like we're trying to do with some of you.
See, there you that's go, exactly Jack. Right.
You just went out and did it.
Jack just is like, get him up here. Yeah, why isn't Gage in the majors yet? What's going on? Why isn't he there yet?
And I did, both me and Gage Wood, our walkout songs were Rooster. So
there you go.
Another thing that we
did ask about that. He was there for the Wheeler start last week and did notice that he came out to a different song last week. I don't know when that changed.
It was four starts ago or so. Yeah.
I knew last one wasn't the first one, but I didn't know how long ago it was, but I think he was a little excited at the opportunity that song might be available as well, because he does like it. So.
It's the best. It's the best walkout song. And like CBP before a playoff game and Rooster comes on. It's chill inducing, Brian. Yeah. It's chill inducing.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, seriously, man, I know you love talking about it, but we love talking to you about it even more. And I know our audience loves it. And we look forward to having you back, obviously, friend of the pod. This is an annual thing now, and hopefully they give us another reason to have you on and all that. But I know for me it means a lot. I can't even put into words how much it means to Jack. Thank you, my friend. We really appreciate it.
Like I said, I love doing this. You guys are great guys. Anytime you guys want me on, please don't hesitate to ask. Jack, James, awesome. Thank you very much for everything.
Dangerous thing to say with Jack Fritz on the
line. I didn't say I'd say yes every time.
Same drafts in Philly next year.
We are already trying to figure out what all is going on between the All-Star game, what's taken up by Major League Baseball, what's still available to us in the stadium. I think there's a pretty big soccer tournament going on.
Oh, yeah, there is. Oh, my goodness. Wow. So, yeah. And the country celebrating 250 in the city. Yes. And all. There's going to be so much going on.
Yeah, there's a few different things going on there that we're already trying to plan for all those things.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be awesome. We'll be all over it for sure.
Yeah. Well, definitely leave early wherever you have to go, because there's going to be a lot of traffic.
Yeah, maybe we'll get you an escort or something if needed. Yeah. All right. Again, Brian, thank you, especially giving us all this time. Can't tell you how much we appreciate it. And we'll have him on again soon. So for Philly's amateur scouting director and assistant general manager, Brian Barber, for Jack Fritz, I'm James Seltzer. Thanks for listening to another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. He's Fritz and Seltzer. We'll talk to you guys later.